Welcome to the PyTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology in regulated industries. I'm Mike, and joining me as always is Laura. Laura, this week we are turning our attention to insurance. And honestly, I think this is the most consequential moment the industry has had in a decade.
Thanks, Mike. And I agree, though maybe not for the reason people expect. The interesting story in insurance right now is not that carriers are adopting AI. That ship sailed. The interesting story is that the gap between the carriers who did it well and the carriers who did it loudly is now measurable in the financials.
Let's start there because there's a number that jumped out at me. Organizations that have fully integrated AI into their operational workflows are nearly 4 times more likely to report revenue growth than the ones still running pilots. 58% versus 15%.
That is the whole thesis in one statistic, and I want to be precise about what it does and does not say. It does not say AI creates revenue growth. It says that the organizational capability required to move AI from a pilot into production is the same capability that produces revenue growth. Clean data, clear ownership, the willingness to change a process rather than bolt software onto it.
So the AI is almost a proxy variable.
It is a very good proxy variable. If you can get a model into your claims workflow and keep it there under audit, you have already solved 5 or 6 problems that had nothing to do with AI.
And the flip side of that number is equally striking. 79% of organizations report challenges adopting AI, and that is a double-digit increase over the prior year. Adoption got harder, not easier.
Which surprises people, because the tooling got better, but the tooling was never the constraint. The constraint is legacy infrastructure, fragmented data environments, and organizational readiness. Those got worse as ambitions rose. When you were running a chatbot pilot, your policy administration system did not matter much. When you want an agent touching claims decisions, it matters enormously.
Let's talk about that claims piece, because that is where the hard dollars are showing up. The reporting this year is that AI-powered claims automation is delivering 30 to 40% cost reductions per claim. A standard claim moving from roughly $40 to $60 in handling cost down to $25 to $36.
And Boston Consulting Group has AI-enabled carriers cutting claim resolution time by 75%, 30 days down to 7.5 days on average. Mike, for a C-suite audience, I want to flag which of those two numbers actually matters more.
Go ahead.
It is the cycle time, not the cost per claim. The cost per claim is a margin story, and it is real. But cycle time is a retention story, a litigation story, and a reserve development story all at once. A claim that closes in 7 days does not become a complaint, does not attract an attorney, and does not sit on your books accruing uncertainty. That compounds in ways the per-claim savings never will.
That is a useful reframe, because the per-claim number is the one that always shows up in the vendor deck.
It shows up in the vendor deck because it is easy to attribute. Cycle time improvement requires you to fix the handoffs, and vendors cannot sell you handoffs.
Now, claims is also where agentic AI has concentrated. Through the first half of this year, agentic AI has been the most actively pursued category in insurance, with customer service as the leading use case and claims right behind it. Why claims?
Because claims has the profile agents are actually good at. High volume, document heavy, and the decision tree is mostly written down already. An adjuster follows a fairly explicit set of rules. That is very different from underwriting a complex commercial risk, where the judgment is tacit and lives in someone's head.
So the advice to an executive picking a first agentic use case is what exactly?
Find the line of business where volume is high, the process is standardized, and speed is a genuine competitive differentiator. Personal auto first notice of loss is the canonical example. Do not start with your hardest problem to prove the technology. Start with your most repetitive one to prove the operating model.
Let's pivot to regulation, because this is the part that separates insurance from every other industry we cover. Laura, walk us through the NAIC picture.
So the NAIC model bulletin on the use of artificial intelligence systems by insurers was adopted on December 4th of 2023. It is principles-based rather than prescriptive, which is important. It does not tell you which models you may use. It tells you that you must manage AI across underwriting, rating, claims, fraud, and marketing through a documented program.
And adoption has moved considerably.
It has. As of this year, at least 24 states plus the District of Columbia have adopted the bulletin or substantially similar guidance. And more than 20 jurisdictions are in various stages of implementation, with broader adoption expected at the fall national meeting. So for any carrier operating multi-state, this is no longer optional in a practical sense.
What does a compliant program actually require?
Four things, and they are more demanding than they sound. First, a written inventory of every AI tool in use across your operations. Second, documented risk controls and testing procedures for each of those tools. Third, evidence of senior management oversight, meaning a real governance trail, not a slide. And fourth, a formal evaluation process for any new AI tool before it goes into deployment.
The inventory requirement is the one I hear the most anxiety about.
Deservedly. Most carriers cannot produce that inventory today, not because they are careless, but because AI arrived through 100 side doors. It is embedded in a vendor's fraud scoring. It is inside a document processing tool procurement bought 2 years ago. It is in a marketing platform nobody in risk has ever looked at. The inventory exercise is genuinely revealing, and it is usually the first time a carrier learns how much AI it is already running.
And there is a new enforcement dimension this year.
This is the development I would put in front of any insurance board. The NIAC has an AI systems evaluation tool, a structured framework that gives examiners a standardized approach to reviewing insurer AI governance. Mike, that changes the entire character of the obligation.
Because now there is a repeatable exam procedure.
Exactly. Principles-based guidance with no exam methodology behind it is aspirational. Principles-based guidance with a standardized examiner tool behind it is a compliance regime. The words in the bulletin did not change. The consequences of ignoring them did.
Let's take this international for a moment. Because carriers with European exposure have a hard date they need to be aware of.
They do. Under the European Union's AI Act, Annex 3.5, subsection C, classifies AI systems used for risk assessment and pricing in life and health insurance as high risk. Those obligations apply from August 2nd of 2026.
So that date has now arrived.
It has. And the scope is broader than people assume. If your AI influences what premium someone pays, whether they are accepted for coverage, or how their risk profile is scored for a life or health product, you're in the high-risk category. The requirements cover risk and quality management, training data quality, transparency, test procedures, and ongoing post-deployment monitoring.
And the penalty regime?
Up to 35 million euro, or 7% of global annual turnover, whichever is higher. That is not a compliance cost line item. That is a board-level risk.
Laura, here is what I find interesting about the NAIC and European frameworks side by side. They are structurally different, but they are asking for a lot of the same evidence.
That is exactly right, and it is the most useful strategic insight I can offer this week. One is principles-based and the other is prescriptive, but both want the same artifacts: an inventory of systems, documentation of training data and testing. A risk management process, named accountability, monitoring after deployment. A carrier that builds one rigorous AI governance capability can satisfy both regimes. A carrier that builds two separate compliance projects has wasted a great deal of money.
Which brings us to the theme running underneath all of this. The industry conversation has shifted from experimentation to structured adoption. Governance, accountability, and decision intelligence are now the center of gravity.
And I want to close on why that shift is genuinely good news rather than a slowdown. For 2 years, the AI conversation in insurance was a capability conversation. Can the model do this? That question is largely settled. The question now is whether your organization can operate the model responsibly, prove that it did, and change the process around it.
Which is an operating model question, not a technology question.
It is entirely an operating model question. And that is why the modernization work matters so much. AI has moved from experimental pilot to core business requirement, and modern models need high-speed access to clean, real-time data. You cannot get there through interface modernization alone. If your data is trapped in a policy administration system from another era, no amount of model sophistication rescues you.
And those modernization timelines are not short. Realistic core system replacement is running 18 to 36 months in most complex environments.
Which is why the sequencing advice is to stop treating modernization and AI as competing budget lines. They are the same program. carriers making progress are doing phased migration, moving to cloud-native platforms or containerized services with API gateways and event streaming underneath, so that each phase unlocks a real AI capability rather than deferring all the value to a distant end state.
So if I'm summarizing for an executive who has 90 seconds, claims is where the measurable return lives right now, and cycle time matters more than cost per claim. Governance is no longer aspirational because examiners now have a standardized tool. The NAIC and European requirements should be built once, not twice. And your modernization roadmap and your AI roadmap are the same document.
That is the week. And the through line is that the carriers separating themselves are not the ones with the most advanced models. They are the ones who did the unglamorous work first.
Well said, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PieTech Solutions, visit our website at pietechsol.com. Thanks and have a great day.